The mayor of the city of Bloomington is our great friend John Hamilton, so that means I need to hop on the 7 line, cruise down to Morton Street through the Fernandez Plaza, knock on the door. Oh, the air condition's working nicely in here today. Good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, Mike. Good to talk with you. Yes, all is fine. Thanks. A lovely nearly end of May day.
And great job getting those pools open over the weekend. Maybe a little cool on Saturday last to get us started, but I don't think anybody was even going to be bothered when it was 80 on Sunday. And then yesterday, Memorial Day, 86. That was warm sunshine, felt like summer. Sometimes these we get started here, those temperatures can be in the upper 60s. Did you see what was – I had friends in Knoxville who were freezing. I had friends in the Carolinas that were cold. L.A. was cold. Not here, buddy. We had a perfect Memorial Day weekend. Did you get a chance to celebrate and relax?
Well, I just first want to report to you that I passed, as promised, along the Mike pool management suggestion on the ticket lines, and they took them seriously. I didn't get to see the lines, but I do want you to know two things. One, they said, you know, yes, that is a good point. We do try to encourage people to do their complicated transactions first and get those other ones through. And second, we still can't, you know, a lot of this is modernizing stuff. We need to get, and we will get, the all that done online. You can't do that yet online, but you will be soon.
Gotcha. So. Yeah, anyway. if you had the pool app or whatever it is, you just hop on there and get whatever you want. Well, that's good, though, because you I know that you like progress. We all like progress, but, yeah, when you have great.
I just wanted you to know I'm listening to you, Mike.
Oh,
so, you know,
that's
there we
fantastic.
Go. Anyway, I didn't get to – I was actually out of town for a couple of days this weekend, snuck up to Chicago for a wedding. But
how was your weather up there?
It was gorgeous. It was gorgeous. You know, highs of mid-70s and a little chillier in the evening, but lovely, lovely.
It's always a little chillier in the evening up there, it appears to be. Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you had safe travels. Did you fly or drive? Was traffic heavy?
I drove up, and it was easy. I was surprised, but both ways in and out of Chicago, I wasn't right during the key rush hour times and all that, and it was great. You know, I felt lucky.
There's very rarely any times it's not busy when you're up there. So that is a.
I know.
I was surprised.
Now,
we
parking
left.
Prices. Oh. Don't ask me about parking prices.
It's cheaper to fly, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe.
When we left to go to Indy on Saturday, I was surprised on how much traffic we had down here. But when I got to 465, I wondered where everybody went. So yeah, it was good to see. I know that the TSA talked about Thursday last week. They're back to pre-pandemic. Traffic there, so that's fun. It's fun time here in Bloomington, but again, a solemn day yesterday as we all reflected on Memorial Day. Everybody hopefully had time to reflect and thank those who made the ultimate sacrifice. Does the city have – we've really never done a Memorial Day is it a parade? What do you do on – do you have a graveside ceremony? How does that work or not work?
Yeah, I've usually participated. The American Legion with partners puts on a service memorial recognition out of Valhalla Cemetery, typically on Memorial Day. And so we kind of partner and participate in that at their direction. We don't do anything separately, but it's a nice ceremony of all the different Army, Navy, Marines, Air Force songs are played and gathered of veterans, a couple hundred people often out there. So I wasn't actually able to be there this year, but I've done that many years, and we appreciate their observation of that holiday for all of us.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. Since I have last spoken to you, this is why I have you on the program, so you can explain to me the court ruling in the annexation case. Has been, as you thought it would be, ruled in favor of the city, which means that is the triggering event to a November trial. I think I have this right.
That sounds about right. It was
close. I'm in the neighborhood.
Yeah, no, you're good. It's, you know, all this stuff has technicalities to it, but this was the opponents of annexation had sought, I think you and I talked about a while back, they'd sought to kind of redo the whole remonstrance period, or to add another one. And we thought that was really a kind of crazy idea. But and the court the trial court agreed that said, no, you don't get to do another remonstrance period. You had one for 3 months and you did it, and you don't get to do another one when it didn't come out quite the way you wanted. And this was an appeal to the appellate court after losing at the trial court, saying, hey, appellate court, would you let us order us to have another 90-day period of remonstrance? And the appellate court said, no, you don't get to do that. Go through trial. If after a trial you want to appeal everything, you can appeal it all together, but it doesn't look too good. So that was really important for us to be able to go forward with the trial, which should happen this fall while I'm still sitting in this chair, which would be good.
And this is one part of two court rulings.
Correct.
Aren't you waiting on another one? Okay, yeah, I just want to make sure I've got this right.
So this is the case that deals with the west side, areas 1A and 1B, as we've talked about. That's the biggest areas. And those are the areas where the remonstrators got some signatures, enough to go to court, but not enough to skip court and just terminate the annexation. So this is a typical annexation trial where the court will then hear evidence on, is it appropriate for the city to annex? And we're very confident that they will say, yes, it is. The second lawsuit is the one that challenges the whole constitutionality of the state legislature's second bite at the apple when they changed the rules on remonstration in the middle of our period, and we think that was unconstitutional. So that governs all of the areas of proposed annexation, not just 1A and 1B. And that one, we're waiting for the state to answer our motion for summary judgment saying we win. And that'll happen in a month or two, and then we'll hopefully have a hearing in front of the judge also this year.
Now, when you have the trial for annexation, is that a jury trial, judge only? How does that work?
It's a judge trial. Okay. Yeah, it's a judge trial under state law, I think that's how it works. And it'll be, I think it's scheduled to be a couple days, 2 or 3 days, to basically look at, did the city have a good plan? Did they analyze what they're going to need to do? Are they in a position to deliver? And opponents may want to say they shouldn't annex for these or those reasons. But typically, once you get to that, we feel like we're in a very good position to demonstrate, you know, this is urbanized areas, and we're ready to bring them into the city, and it all works smoothly. We give them witness. I may be a witness. You may be a witness if you talk too much about this. So be careful. But no.
they can possibly. That's the great news. My wife, for whatever reason, she gets the jury duty letter every other. Me, not never. But I'll get out of all of them. Like, do you follow this? Yes, I follow everything. So there's no way I'll be out. Well, I can't be on the jury and do the radio at the same time.
That's not a good excuse, though. That won't work.
Mayor John Hamilton is our guest and our legal consultant here on the program as well. All right, now let's have some other legal legal chat here. Last week we learned about vehicles who do not have, or who have not paid, rather, their parking tickets could be in some hot water if ticketed again or found again. The code was passed by the city council late last year. It is just coming to the enforcement side of things. Tell me how we got from point A to point B, if you would, and what is the optimum solution to all of this? Pay your tickets, right? That's it. That's that simple. Just pay your tickets.
One of the things we sometimes try to do in government is start by saying, what is the problem we're trying to solve, right? Let's try to focus on what's the problem we're trying to solve and then figure out how do we solve it. And I think with the city council last year, one of the problem we're trying to solve is that there are some minority, but some numbers of folks who just don't pay parking tickets. And that's not fair to the rest of us who do. It's not appropriate that you can flout the parking rules and rack up a bunch of tickets. So the problem is we had people with very high ticket amounts, numbers of tickets and such, that we weren't able to collect. And even if you send it to a collection, they couldn't move forward. So the city council said we're gonna tow the cars after six tickets, and asked us to. We had to figure out how to implement that, and that's what we announced last week. It takes a little while to think through all the details and such, and we really settled on that issue of after six tickets, we take the right to tow a car, impound it, and say you need to pay your tickets before you get your car back, and that is one way to kind of enforce that. Now, let me say from the beginning, we also understand that some people get into trouble and their car is essential for their working, and we look forward to working people if they need a payment plan, if they have a dire need to use that car immediately, we can work things out, but we want to just make sure people are paying attention and that they're paying their tickets. So we're going to start enforcing that in a couple weeks. We're going to start giving people some highly visible neon green parking ticket signs if you get your sixth one. But there are also a bunch of people we're already in touch with who are well over six already. So we're sending them emails and letters to say, hey, by the way, you're up at 12 already or 18. So next time we give you a ticket, you may find your car towed.
Why the number five or six? Just best practices? Somebody else did this, came up with it. Is there any rhyme or reason behind it? Why isn't it two if you wanted to get on this? How many strikes and you're out? Are we changing the rules of baseball? Are you?
I think there's probably no perfect answer for that, Mike. I think it was trying to find a compromise. We don't want to tow cars. It doesn't do us any good. It's not something we enjoy doing. So we want to make sure we're giving people a chance to go through. And some people do get several tickets in a row, you know, if they leave it in a place and they don't pay attention and such. So I don't think there's any magic to that, and it could be changed down the road, but it was a good starting place, we thought.
Well, and I think that's the other part of it. Now, some people will point out that you've mentioned on this program and others before that you hope just the whole parking system and the garages and everything else is net neutral, where it just pays for itself. Does this suggest we are not doing that, or is this a different set of circumstances underneath that same umbrella?
I think this is more just kind of an equity question of saying if most people are following the rules, we need to make sure everybody does, and we don't want some freeloaders, I guess, in a way. You're right that we want the parking system to pay for itself. It certainly has not during the pandemic. We had some real changes, as you would imagine, in the uses of parking garages when nobody was working in their offices and that kind of thing. So we're playing a little catch-up. Thankfully, the federal money helped us get our way through that, but we've still got some maintenance to make up. But this ticket issue is really just saying it doesn't make sense to have some people in the city who just rack up tickets and don't respond to it. So that's what this is about.
Interesting. Absolutely interesting. Now, does this go on forever? Is it reevaluated annually? I know you don't want people not to pay their tickets down the road, but is this going to be worth the trouble to add to it? Or is this just part of the new rules moving forward that enforcement and everybody else has to deal with?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think the short answer is I don't know. City Council, you know, put this in place. We're implementing it. I'm confident that over time we will continue to look at this, we being the city, may not be me, just to make sure it's working right. We'll want to see that the number of unpaid tickets is going way down. And, you know, if we find we're towing a lot of cars, that maybe if we put it at 10 tickets, we would tow a lot fewer and still get paid, or if we need to move it to three tickets, you know, I think that'll be looked at over time. But the main thing is just trying to make sure we don't have this big backlog of large amounts of unpaid tickets.
There you have it. So that is the ticketing story. Now let's talk more money.
And let me just say, please. I want to thank everybody who does pay their parking tickets.
Right.
Most of you do. We appreciate it. It's not meant to be punitive. It's meant to help us all have a good, well-functioning transportation system, and I've paid tickets myself. I know, you know, it's no fun. And they're just a reminder to follow the rules. Or if you take the risk and you lose, you pay. You know, it's kind of like making a little bet maybe sometimes. But we appreciate the vast majority of people who really do pay them on time, and that means a lot.
Last one, and we'll move on. The rate of ticket goes up, goes down, stays the same. What changes that, if anything changes it moving forward? It's not the same thing. It's different. But do you feel people aren't paying because it's too high, too low? There's not a social experiment we can do on this.
Our tickets are lower than I use tickets right now, parking tickets, and that's kind of been the case for a long time. We're not trying to make money on this. We're just trying to enforce the parking rules, and you know, parking meters cost twice as much as parking in a garage. We're trying to manage the parking system, and part of that means you have to have a penalty if you don't follow the rules, and it's just meant to be sure that most people, most of the time, follow the rules, and those fees can be adjusted, parking fines, et cetera, as need be along the way through council action.
So just park legally, folks, and pay your tickets if you're not, and things should be just fine. Mayor John Hamilton is our guest. How about trash? That's a little bit different as well. We've got some stuff going on. Again, another ordinance here. Trash is going up, it appears. When is it going up? How is it going up? And I know Adam Wason will have more details for me down the road.
You know, I like to keep in my drawer near my desk a few of those old trash stickers, which were such a fixture of our community for
$1.
So long. Where you paid a dollar for a trash sticker and you had to make sure you had enough on hand and borrow from your neighbor if you ran out, or run out to the CVS midnight before your trash was due. So those, we got rid of those early in my tenure in 2017 or 18, I think, and replaced it with a cart system where we provided carts. It was key to automating the pickup of trash. We had a 1950s system where literally our staff lifted by hand all of the trash, tons a day, to dump into the back of a truck, and we had a lot of injuries. It was not a good system, so we needed to automate that, which means you need to have uniform bins, which means you need to provide them to people. So that really prompted that whole shift, and we set rates based upon the size of the bin. The larger bin, the more you paid. We want to implement a kind of pay-as-you-throw system. We like that, so that if you generate less trash, you pay less for the system. And so that was all part of the system. And the last thing was we are sensitive to the fact that homeowners in 1-4 unit homes, so small, single-family detached homes or 1-4 units, are the ones who get our service. And we were sensitive to the fact that we were subsidizing that service with general fund revenue. So everybody who lives in the city, including renters, pay general fund taxes, and those were supporting only those people who had sanitation services in 1-4 size households. So we've been trying to figure out how do we reduce, and the council has urged us to do this, urged me through budget hearings to reduce the general fund subsidy. So what's going in front of council this in the next couple of weeks is a consideration to continue to adjust the sanitation rates so that we can reduce the general fund subsidy, continue to reward those who generate less trash, and continue to offer free recycling, which is important to us and what we do.
Well, and the recycling business hasn't helped any of this, has it?
Nope. Recycling commodity prices are crashing different. We still think it's important to do. We'll continue to try to do that. And, and tipping fees can be expensive. Gas, everybody pays the same gas prices as the sanitation trucks do. And so it'll be up to council to figure out kind of how they want to balance all those. I do always ask, now, how do we compare to a private pickup? And we are way cheaper than if you have to hire a private sanitation service to come to your door or a dumpster or a bin that you have. So we always want to continue to do that as we can.
Mayor John Hamilton joins us every Tuesday just after 4:05. We talk about the big issues here in the city of Bloomington that are making headlines. And coming up on Friday is Wear Orange. Why would you like everyone to wear orange? And tell us how this got started here in Bloomington.
Yeah, thank you for noting that. This is, you know, kind of a poignant Memorial Day, too. Wear Orange movement began in 2015 from a particular student who was killed in Chicago, and a number of our local organizations like Moms Demand Action and others who are concerned about gun violence encourage us once a year to observe National Gun Violence Awareness Day, and that's coming up this Friday, and we'll have some different events going on. But it's basically kind of a solidarity, remembering that we lose a lot of people every year across the country and in every community to gun violence, whether it's suicide or homicide or accidental deaths. And so that's what it's about, trying to help people think about that.
And wrapping up, I saw your video with the Deputy Fire Chief, Jamie Washell. What were you guys talking about? Do you have enough firefighters? I know that you've got people getting through the system trying to improve those numbers. Tell me what I missed there.
Yeah, we love our fire department. They're 123 years old. I think they started in 1900, and they've been providing great service. They're ISO number one ranked. That's very rare across the country. We're the only city in the state of Indiana with an ISO one and a nationally accredited police department, so we're really proud of what they do. They are down in numbers right now. We've had some retirements, and kind of a little bit like the police, we've seen public safety poaching going on city to city as it's getting a little harder to hire. So we are, Jamie and I, Deputy Chief Washell, we're talking about work we're doing to recruit people, work we're doing on improving our stations, investments that are coming in every station, actually, the five that we have around the city. We do have 21 new firefighters that I'll be getting to swear in over the next few months. That's great. And doing some other things like increasing the number of mobile integrated health providers. You know, most of what firefighters do is not respond to fires. Most of what they do is respond to other kind of emergencies, automobile accidents, health emergencies, and others. So we're trying to develop new ways to do that. It's funny, I was at a play in another city, not in Washington, D.C., a while ago, and a patron in intermission had a health emergency. You know, you heard the "Is there a doctor in the house?" call, and a doctor was there and went over there, and people called 911. And about 4 minutes later, a giant hook and ladder truck pulls up outside the theater with three or four firefighters on it, and they came in and helped the guy. But you don't need to send a giant hook and ladder truck to that, you know. And we're still evolving that with fire. We're getting some squad vehicles, some smaller things, and health responders that can help do that too. And it all integrates with the ambulance services and police department and all that. But
do you see?
So we talked about that.
Do you see with the fire evolving? Is that the right word I'm looking for? Like you have with the community resource specialist from the police department? Is that the same thing? Is it redundant or is it different?
Well, they are evolving, both of them, and, you know, back to something else we've talked about, it's one of the reasons that we purchased the Showers West, as we call it, to bring fire and police together, because more and more we do want to integrate how they respond to public safety issues. And yes, we are, like we have social workers in the police department, and like we have community service specialists who can do things that you don't need a sworn officer to do, we also have personnel in the fire department who can do things that you don't need a sworn and trained firefighter to respond to. For example, we have wellness checks, long-term health issues. We have if you have somebody who calls 911 frequently, we can now from the fire department send some people in to talk to them and say, how are you dealing with falls in your house? How can we help you reduce those? How can we help you deal with if you're getting diabetic responses that cause 911 calls? What can we do to help? So, and similarly, if you had a patron in a play who needs emergency response, we can drive an SUV there with two people who are EMTs quicker than we get.
Yeah, backing out, turn this, exactly.
Yeah, so and it saves everybody money and time. So I do think all that's going to continue to evolve, and getting everybody in one roof to plan that and develop that and work on that together, I think will be helpful.
Well, you're always helpful when you join us every Tuesday. We thank you for your time. We know we've got busy things coming up in the month of June, and we'll talk about those as we get moving along with festivals and fun and concerts in the park and all kinds of things happening. This is not a dull place to be ever, and we thank you for keeping us informed every Tuesday.
It's a Tuesday. Let's remember that. Yes, and nice to be with you again, and look forward to talking next week. I hope everybody has a good week.
Get to the pools, kids. It's going to be in the 90s. That will help as well. Thank you, Mayor Hamilton. It's always appreciated.
Be well. Thanks.